This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Today we have Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Really important, really interesting, topic. And it's important because we're all leaders. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that everyone is a shepherd and they will be asked about their flock. So we all have leadership responsibilities, and with those responsibilities comes accountability, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. Responsibility, accountability, and that means that it's upon us to learn the skills of leadership, because all of us in some way, shape or form are going to be leaders. This is not fundamentally about leadership, but today's talk is about a very important aspect or dimension that is really a leadership issue, and that's to do with decision making. Now, there's three separate topics around decision making when it comes to this whole realm of cognitive biases, or ways in which our mind gets things wrong, the ways in which we don't make the rational decisions that we really should be making. That's what we've been talking about for quite a long time, and we probably will keep talking about it for a long time, because there's so many cognitive biases. It's incredible. A lot of the emphasis recently has been on what, you know, it's to do with economics. It's to do with, obviously it applies to all aspects of your life, but it's to do more with what, you know, economic, the psychology of economics, or, you know, because that's where a lot of the research has been done. But as I said, and I'm always mentioning, these things can be applied to many, many different aspects of your life. So what we're not talking about today is decision paralysis. Okay, so there's one thing, decision paralysis, which is when you, and although it's very similar, it's still connected, they're different, but they are actually very similar. So decision paralysis is when you have so many choices, you can't make up your mind. I'm sure we've already experienced that. It's sometimes a lot, well, and it's counterintuitive. You think the more choices, the better, but often that's not the case. Often the case is that when you have more choices, it's actually more difficult, and you end up not being able to make a choice at all. And, you know, we've discussed some of these things about the choices we make, why we choose certain things, why do we buy certain things? And a lot of it is to do with emotions. It's to do with, we want to feel that we're doing the right thing. And that is something that is going to come into play in today's discussion, which is about decision fatigue, which is slightly different from decision paralysis. Very similar to decision paralysis, which, as I said, is when you've got so many choices, you can't make up your mind. Is analysis paralysis, which is very, very similar, but a little bit different, in the sense that this is a byproduct of overanalyzing things. And you may not necessarily have lots of things to analyze, right? You may even just have one thing. Okay, so decision paralysis is when you have choice paralysis is when you have so many choices, right? And those multitude of choices leave you confused as to which one should I pick. Analysis paralysis is different. You may only have one choice. You may not even have much of an option, but you are so deep in analyzing that particular problem, you fail to take any action in respect to it. So that all you just keep analyzing and analyzing and analyzing. This is another problem. And we'll talk about, maybe we'll talk about that next week. But today is, we're going to talk about decision fatigue. Decision fatigue is different. So what is decision fatigue? That is really to do with what I believe is one of the most important topics in psychology. It's one of the most important topics in spirituality. It may even be arguably the essence of what being a human being is all about. What makes us different from every other creature is willpower. And by willpower, I mean our ability to not give in to our whims and our desires, to not give in to our impulses, to make conscious, rational decisions, to not give in to our impulses because we want to achieve a long-term goal or objective. And you could argue that that's really what being a human being is all about. That's what really makes us different. The human beings and the jinn, that dimension of willpower. It's something I've done a course on. I don't mention this very often, but I have a course, The Seven Pillars of Willpower, where I have taken years of research that I did on this topic and condensed it down into what I thought were the very, very key components, and combined it with some of my knowledge of Islamic spirituality, and gave it a very much an Islamic flavor. It's a paid course that you can access, and I have some videos where I have talked about some different aspects of it. And today we're going to be talking about some of those things, because this is really to do with willpower. Okay, so decision fatigue is really connected to willpower. And one of the first things that you learn about willpower is that willpower is a limited resource. It is finite. Now, you know, I mention this a lot because a lot of people really don't know what willpower is. And I've reached the sort of conclusion that I think we should probably use a different term, because people think that willpower is some sort of force, some sort of force of determination, you know, that you hear people say through sheer willpower, he did this or did that. And it's almost imagined to be like some force, like a Jedi force that can, you know, move objects, and that you have it or you don't. It's not that. Willpower is just simply your ability to delay gratification in order to achieve a long-term objective. And the stronger your ability to resist giving in to temptation, in order to achieve a longer term goal, is the greater your willpower. And so actually what willpower really is a whole series of strategies, of mental and physical strategies that a person can use in order to be able to engage this part, this prefrontal cortex, this pausing, planning, thinking part of the brain, and just not to be giving into your impulses. Of course, sometimes it's good to give into your impulses. You know, for example, if a lion jumps out of the jungle at you, you probably don't want to spend too much time standing around thinking, what shall I do right now? Right. So there's sometimes when it's really good to just act and not think, because there's reasons for that. But unfortunately, it's just one of the tests of life, we can say, and one of the things that we need to overcome and adapt to our present environment, that our human mind and our human bodies have been made in order for us to exist in an environment that is very different from the environment that we find ourselves, or many of us find ourselves in the modern world today. And because of that, there are many things that happen to us that cause us stress, that cause us anxiety, that deplete our willpower, and that end up causing us making bad decisions, because we react to them as if they are threats to our actual life, whereas in fact they are not. And also things that made a lot of sense for most of human history, like if you find a high-fat, high-sugar food, you want to grab it and eat as much of it as you can, because for most of human history, human beings have been deficient in calories. Well, right now, that just doesn't do us that much good, because that means you're going to be reaching for Coca-Cola and crisps and all sorts of unhealthy things that are going to make you obese and give you heart disease and cause your early death, amongst just a few of things to mention that all of that does to you. So I guess you get my point, right? So, but look, this is not a reason for us to in any way despair. It's a matter of education. And we educate ourselves about all sorts of things, but unfortunately, we don't educate ourselves about this. And this is ultimately, I believe ultimately, this is what being a Muslim is about. This is what it actually means to be a Muslim. As I said, this is what means, you know, this is what it means to be human. What I believe is that fundamentally distinguishes a human from an animal is the choice, our ability to choice, that limited aspect. And it is limited in the sense that we don't have absolute free will. Our free will is not absolute, because we can't will unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it. We're still under the ultimate control of Allah, but Allah has allowed us to make choices. And ultimately, of course, from the Islamic perspective, we can choose whether to worship Allah or not. And these choices are the things that upon which Allah is going to judge us. The choices that we make are the things upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge us. And, you know, one of those choices, for example, is about your health. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the 2 feet of the son of Adam will not move from their place in front of their Lord until they are asked about 5 things. Your life and what you did with it. So you're going to be asked because you had a choice. You had a choice about what you're going to do with your life. You had a choice about how you're going to live your life. Your health. You have some choices about your health. You do, right? Your health and how did you care for it? You will be asked. In fact, you will not, none of us, we will not move from our place in front of Allah until we have been asked about these things, right? Your money, how you earned that money, and how you spent that money, and your knowledge, right? How you acted on it. So these are the choices. These are just some of the choices that we have to make that are very, very important. And therefore, we have a need to educate ourselves. So let's go back to decision fatigue. One of the things that I'm sure we've all experienced, something that we need to educate ourselves on, something that is really, really important for us to understand. So decision fatigue, again, just to remind you, is when we have to make a lot of decisions, and usually this is in a day. And the reason being is because once we sleep and once we rest, and we've eaten and we've, you know, recuperated. These are things that actually restore our cognitive thinking abilities. Then, you know, we're able to put that energy, that mental energy, back into thinking and pausing and planning and making those decisions. Now, as I've been saying again and again and again and again in these talks, using your brain takes a lot of energy. And that's why we have a lot of these shortcuts that I've been talking about, these cognitive biases, these heuristics that we have as human beings. They're there to help us. They're there to help us make quick decisions so we don't have to employ our brain. And actually, I'm not today, what I want to talk about as well is not just tell you what decision paralysis is, but I want to go through some really useful strategies that you can implement in order to help you deal with not decision paralysis, decision fatigue. Yeah. In order for you to be able to deal with decision fatigue, inshallah. So let's just talk about this. So one of the famous types of research that was done into this issue of decision fatigue was with a group of judges in Israel, And it was found that the judges generally would, the number of people who would be given parole. So these were judges who were on a review board for parole, for criminals who were being reviewed to be on parole. And it was found that there was a big statistical imbalance between the criminals that were reviewed in the morning and the criminals that were reviewed in the evening. So basically what they found out, these researchers, was that there were a large number of criminals who were reviewed in the morning who were given parole, and very, very few, if any, who received parole in the evening after lunch. And the reason they realized was because of decision fatigue, because this matter of reviewing a criminal to see whether they should be allowed back out into society obviously took a lot of effort. And because, by the way, of course, the more important and the more significant that decision is, the more energy it's going to consume for your brain and, you know, for your emotions. You're going to put much more effort into it. So you can imagine, this is not an easy task, reviewing whether a criminal is going to be allowed to be let out early or not. And so what they found was that in the afternoon, generally they didn't. They very rarely approved criminals for parole. But in many cases, there was no difference between the actual facts that were being presented to them. So the reality was that what was happening was that they were so tired. They were so mentally exhausted. And even the lunch break didn't help that much. In the end of the day, so what happened was that by the afternoon, they just defaulted to what seemed to be the safest option. And the safest option is just to maintain the status quo, keep it the way it is, right? Well, you know, they just stay in prison. That's a relatively easy decision to make, as opposed to let them out into society. So this is something that was looked into quite deeply. And this is an example of this. And there's many, many, by the way, many other experiments that were done about decision fatigue. One of them was done by Baumeister, who, again, he's famous. His book on willpower is, I've read it. It's one of the books on which that I use to help develop my course. And he's done a lot of research into this issue of willpower. And this is why this comes under this topic. You know, he did a similar, he did another experiment where basically he presented university students with choices. Some were just asked to think about them. You know, they were given I think 24 choices or a various, some 24, 12, whatever, but a number of choices. Some were told just to think about it, but others were told to actually make decisions, to make a decision about their choice. And they were just consumer choices. They weren't really anything too taxing. They were just consumer choices. And then afterwards, in the afternoon, these students were given like a number of of cognitive tests that really were there simply to test a person's, you know, thinking ability. And it was found that those people who were asked to actually make a choice across the board, they generally did a lot worse than those who didn't have to make choices and who were just sort of asked to think about it. And, you know, so again, it was the point demonstrated is the sheer act of having to make a decision is exhausting. And because of that exhaustion, you go on to make afterwards bad decisions. You go on to things that involve your brain, things that involve thinking. And these, of course, could be really important decisions. You become more passive, right? You become more passive. You become more open to suggestion. Again, brothers and sisters, this is something to think about, again, in terms of, we've talked about it a lot, about being brandwashed, how we get manipulated as consumers to buy more than we actually need, to consume needlessly. So there's many things that can happen that lead us to make bad choices. And some of these choices can be very, very significant. You know, for example, you could be If you're presented with too many important decisions to make, and for example, then you're encouraged to, for example, let's say, take up an experimental form of medication that could damage your health permanently, perhaps even, you know, in the wrong state of mind, when you are confronted with making lots of decisions, well, guess what? You will, you know, very easily make bad decisions. And unfortunately, this is even more true of people who are in poverty. And this is a very interesting study that was done, very interesting, because from the point of view of that, that, you know, sometimes people like to think of, there are some people, and I think especially maybe I would say in American culture, and that's just because of their, you know, the philosophy of the American dream and the ideas they have of hard work. And, you know, there is this idea that, you know, people are poor because it's their fault. But actually, when people live in extreme poverty, it becomes a sort of vicious circle. And the reality is that because when you are extremely poor, when it comes to money, you have so many decisions, very, very difficult decisions that you have to make, you know, over something that may for us, for example, be mundane, a bar of soap. And they actually did a research around just soap, for example. And, you know, that may just be just, you know, we don't even think about that. But for people who are in extreme, they did a research in India on this, for people who are in extreme poverty, you know, it's like they have to really think, shall I spend this money on soap or shall I spend it on these beans or shall I spend it? Their financial resources are so limited that they have to make these very, very difficult decisions about many, many different things. And unfortunately, what that does is they will end up making bad decisions. And the reason they will end up making bad decisions is because they are just mentally exhausted. It doesn't mean that they are stupid or that they are incapable. This is common to all human beings. It's just the situation in which they find themselves drives them more and more towards this negative state of mind, which is decision fatigue. So, okay, so I'm sure all of us, at least if you're aware of it, I'm sure you will now start to recognize the existence of decision fatigue in your life. That's the first thing, you know, I'd like you to do over the next week. You know, maybe you can examine and think, wow, am I, you know, do I have to make a lot of decisions today? Do I feel really tired from making those decisions? I mean, like I said, once you have awareness of these things, start watching out for them. Start seeing if you can spot these things happening in your life. Start to see whether maybe even society, when I say society, certain elements of society are creating more challenging decisions for you simply because they want to pacify you, and perhaps even they want you to make inappropriate choices because it suits their agenda. That's something we should all be watching out for. Okay, so I think that's a good introduction, inshallah, to decision fatigue, right? So what I want to do is, okay, talk about how can we deal with it? What sort of steps that we can take? Yeah. Okay, number one is get some good quality sleep. Sleep is hugely important. It's not about the amount you sleep. It is the quality of your sleep. One of the things that, alhamdulillah, I do feel Allah has blessed me hugely in my life is I just generally tend to sleep really well. I can, you know, I most of the time, I don't have a problem going to sleep. Literally, by the time I put my head on the pillow, between me putting my head on the pillow and just being like totally out of it is a very short time. and I do sleep. I do seem to sleep very deeply. I think sort of all things could happen, and I just wouldn't wake up. And I think that's a real blessing, because I do feel very rested and alhamdulillah invigorated from my sleep. You don't want to stress yourself out if you find that you're not getting good sleep, and that's a whole different topic. I mean, we could, you know, maybe you could leave a comment if that's something that you'd really like to discuss. I did do a little bit of research into sleep and how to improve your sleep, because I had a good friend of mine who was really suffering from that. And I wanted to find if I could help him, but that's not my topic for today, how to get better sleep. But it is important to sleep well. One little clue that I can give you, if you want to get to sleep well, is don't look at any screens at least an hour before you go to bed. Don't look at your phone. Don't watch TV. Don't look at a computer. Turn the lights down low, right? Hopefully be in a dim room setting. It allows your body to wind down. Bright screens imitate daylight, and then your mind is thinking it's daytime, and it takes time to wind down from that. So that's just one of the things that you can do. But so number one, get good sleep. Okay. Decision fatigue tends to accumulate over, you know, the period of, the actual daylight hours. And sleep is a great way of reboosting and reinvigorating, you know, your mind, and helps you to be able to face things. So, following on from that, try to make important decisions in the morning when you're fresh, when your mind is fresh, when your thought process is already fresh. So the other thing is, try not to make too many decisions, especially important decisions, in one day. There is going to be a limit to how many good decisions you can make. So limit them. Going back to sleep, sleep on it. That's a famous saying, and people often say, well, make a decision. No, I'm going to sleep on it. That's a really, really good idea. The other thing that we should do, obviously, is enlist a choice advisor. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has definitely, this is something that we've been told in the Quran. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us with, is to seek consultation, to seek shura, to seek advice from someone who can help us to make effective decisions. And this is definitely something that we should do. We should always be seeking advice from people who are trustworthy, who are knowledgeable, who are capable, and help us to make those decisions. And of course, then we should make Salat al-Istikhara. And this is, of course, not something you'll find in any self-help book or any book of psychology, but you will find it in our religion. Because that connection with Allah, that belief that when we are asking Allah and we are seeking guidance from Allah and we are seeking help from Allah, Allah will most definitely guide us to the right thing. I just here want to take some time to talk about istikhara, and this could be a whole lecture in and of itself, but so many people are confused about istikhara. They are so confused about it. They don't understand what istikhara is. Istikhara is not a dua to help you make a decision. No. Istikhara is that once you've made a decision, and the decision could be a negative or positive decision. You could decide not to do something. You could decide not to take an experimental medication, for example. You could decide not to get married. You could decide not to get that job. You could decide not to travel. And you can still make istikhara about not doing something, right? Or you could make istikhara to take a potentially life-saving but not fully tested medicine. You could make istikhara to marry this person. So do you understand? You could make istikhara to make this journey. So istikhara can be this way or it can be that way. But at the end of the day, you're still making istikhara about a decision that you have made. So before you make istikhara, you go through the process of trying to make the decision. And what is the normal process of making a decision is you look at all the, as much as possible, the available information without getting decision analysis paralysis, which we'll talk about next week, inshallah, if Allah gives us life. We'll talk about it next week. Okay. So you make that decision, you consult people, right, who will help you make good choices. And then, inshallah, you make your choice. Hopefully, you make it mostly based on these rational premises, because gut instinct is important, but it's not always the right thing. That's why, you know, you make a decision and you make istikhara. The beautiful thing about istikhara here is you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if this thing is good for me, then turn it towards me and me towards it, right? And if it is bad for me, then take it away, turn me away from it and it away from me. And then you do your best to make that thing happen. And if it doesn't happen, then if you still feel like you want to make it happen, you still keep trying to do it until either it becomes impossible for you or you just don't feel like you want to do that anymore. So, for example, a person may make istikhara to marry a certain person, and then they propose to that person, and that person says no. Well, you still feel that maybe there's something else you can do, so you get maybe someone to, you know, talk. When I say propose to that person with the appropriate Islamic manners, usually through the, you know, the guardian, or anyway, I don't want to go into that, but I'm just giving it as an example. So you may, there may be other ways that you could pursue that. You know, like either it gets to the stage where it's impossible and that person says, no, no, I'm just not interested, please stop asking me, or whatever. Or, you know, like maybe the person says, I don't know. They don't say no straight out. They say, well, I don't know, I'll think about it. Or, you know, whatever, right? You get my point. Or that it may just be that, you know what? I don't know. I don't really feel I want to marry that person anymore. So maybe that Allah will change your heart, because you never know where the benefit is. You see, the benefit for you may have just been in the process itself. That could be beneficial for you. The process of trying to achieve something, the process of trying to make something happen and work in your life, there could be benefit in that. That's where maybe why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened those doors for you for a while, because it was that process of making those decisions and trying to bring about that change. Maybe that was the bit that was good for you. Not maybe. For sure, inshallah. So this is very important. Alhamdulillah, we have this aspect of istikhara, you know, in our decision process, and shura, which is obviously seeking advice. One of the things that is really important, again, about making decisions and saving yourself from decision fatigue, and I guess we could bring this up again in the aspect of this analysis paralysis, is, you know, get a reality check about your expectations. Like, you don't need to overthink everything. That's part of the problem, is that sometimes we make the decision, or what is involved in making the decision, something more than it really is. We can over exaggerate it, or we are, you know, we have a certain standard that we want, a certain standard of expectations. This is very common in marriage, for example. People have sometimes, I would say, ridiculous expectations that are literally almost absurd. So, yes, give your expectations a reality check, and it can help you. Another thing which is really good is to make some decisions in life in advance, right? This, you know, famous examples of this is Steve Jobs just having one outfit that he wore the whole time. That's one less decision you have to make. Like, he had one color, one turtleneck, one pair of trousers. Like, he had more than one pair, but it was all the same color, looked all the same. And, you know, that's just lets you make one less decision in life. Like, oh, what do I have to wear today? If you don't give yourself options, then you've got less decisions to make. Maybe you just have the same breakfast every single morning. If it's a good, healthy breakfast, so what? That's one less decision that you have to make. Maybe when it comes to shopping, you know, you have a certain things that you get every week. They're on your list. You know, that's it. You don't have to make a decision about that, right? You set a certain time that you have for exercise, for reading Quran, for, you know, whatever it may be. It is set. It is decided. It is one less decision you have to make in your life. And this is one of the beautiful things, by the way, one of the most beautiful things I want to say about being a Muslim, about Islam, having been a non-Muslim and having come from that darkness of confusion. One of the most beautiful things about being a Muslim is that so many things are taken care of for you in terms of your ethics and morality. You don't need to have to worry anymore about many things. Should I do this or should I do that? If I do this, then what will happen about that? And if this is like this, then that, because, you know, many things that without the guidance of Allah, it's already taken care of. This is halal, this is haram. The haram things, that's it. You can't do it. There's no, you don't need to concern yourself making a decision about that. The decision has been made for you already. This is haram. End of. That's it. Decision made. Yeah. In even in terms of what is virtuous, the virtues are known, and some things are more virtuous than others. Oh, should I spend my time with this or should I spend my time with that? Well, the decision is made. We know what is more virtuous. This is more virtuous than that. This is better to spend your time with than that. I'm not saying you don't have any decisions left to make. Of course you do. And everyone is different. So what may be good for you in terms of righteous actions, you know, you may be someone who loves to pray, who loves to make dhikr, and maybe seeking knowledge is not your thing, even though the virtue of seeking knowledge is so great, more than even prayer, extra prayers and dhikr. But the point being, some of these things are going to be in accordance to, you know, your own personal preferences. But even the point being that at least we have this very clear delineation. It just means there's a lot less choices for us to make. And that is a blessing. In a crazy world where we have so many decisions and we can end up making so many bad decisions because of the decision fatigue, to have a lot of decisions made for you, especially about the most important things and the most significant things in your life that ultimately affect you the most. Like, seriously, whether you get a black comb or a brown comb, yeah? Whether you get, you know, a handkerchief that looks like this or like that, you could think about that a lot and you could put a lot of energy into it, but really it's not that important, right? But, you know, there are decisions that are hugely important, right? Should I have, you know, should I have sex with this person or not? Well, no, that's not your wife or that's not your husband. So no, you shouldn't. That's it. Allah has decided. Islam has told you, no, that is haram. Decision made. You can't do it. It's not an option for you. End of. But if you're not a Muslim and you don't have those constraints in your life, these are the questions you ask yourself. You may even ask yourself, well, what does it mean even to be faithful, right? If I am just having, you know, like I could go on and on and on. And believe me, I have been in that darkness, and it is the most horrific darkness of being totally lost. You want to make the right decision, but you have no center point. You have no real center point. You have no center of gravity. You're just floating around almost aimlessly. It's a horrible, horrible place to be. And alhamdulillah that decisions are made for you. And these people who talk about, oh, well, you know, like, you know, I like to make my own decisions. This is not the real world, right? this is not the real world, like which real, you will make bad decisions and very, very bad decisions. That's the reality, because you'll just get exhausted. You'll get exhausted. Our little minds have very, very limited capability, and we get tired very quickly. And then when we get tired and our willpower is depleted, we end up making really rotten choices. So that's another thing. Alhamdulillah, make decisions in advance, right? The other thing is just be aware. And I said this at the beginning, and let's round it off with this. This is a very important topic. Some of the things I talk about are way more important than others. For me, this particular topic, especially for us in this day and age, is hugely important for our mental health, hugely important for our mental well-being. So please take this particular talk today really seriously. And as well, you know, please share it and spread it, because I think this is one of the more important talks that I've given on a practical level. I think they're all important, but from a very practical level of a difference it can make in someone's life today, this is an important talk. So tune into your feelings, right? This is one of the things, is be self-aware. And of course, all my talks for you, for however long now, is all talking about this self-awareness. Be real with yourself. Be honest about yourself. This comes back to this thing. Be honest with yourself. You're not a Superman, right? You're not a god or a demigod. You're not, right? You're a human being with a human brain, and you are going to get tired making decisions. And the more complex those decisions are, the more important those decisions are, the more tired you're going to get more quickly. And then soon you will start making bad decisions. So be aware of that. Create that awareness, develop awareness, right, of when you're feeling tired, and make important decisions in the optimal state. That's it. Yes, brothers and sisters, I hope you found that really, really useful. I hope you found it very, very beneficial. Alhamdulillah, today's podcast, there is a swiftly going to be followed by a podcast by some of our sisters called Sisters Speak. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. And today they are going to be talking about managing emotions. MashaAllah, sounds like just the sort of topic I'll be fascinated by. So brothers and sisters, if you can tune into Sisters Speak, which is going to be, there's no time there, but it's after this. So until next week, brothers and sisters, I hope you have a beautiful week. Remember, just as a reminder, to like this video, to share it, to subscribe to my YouTube channel, or as well to share Islam. Alhamdulillah, and may Allah bless you, and inshallah, take some time to think about decision fatigue. Don't make too many decisions about that. Just decide to think about it. All right. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. It's been a pleasure.